Maybe that's a passage that you're all familiar with, but we're going to just look at it again afresh and be open to what the Lord may say through it. Because I believe at the heart of this passage for both Martha and Mary is the need for the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of a relationship with Jesus that we too need. What do I mean by this? Well, just think for a moment, and there'll be a number of times I'm going to ask you to pause during when I speak today. And one of them is now. Have you ever been in that place when you've been out of your comfort zone? I don't think Sharon would mind me saying, because she said it openly, when she thought about Bible Church for the first time, she never thought she would be able to stand in front of children, let alone adults and children, and do. It was completely beyond her comfort zone. But the Lord led her in that direction. Have you been called to something that you're thinking, why me? Why now? Or maybe the reverse of that. You have been wanted to be called, but actually the Lord has said, no, stay where you are until I say go. I wonder if that's a place you've been in. You want to go, but the Lord says, stay. I just want you to pause for 30 seconds. And just think, is there anything that the Lord's laid on your hearts, things you've done and things you might not have done? It is in those moments that we need to cling on to the faithfulness of God. And we're going to delve into our passage. It's familiar, as I've said, an encounter. But let's just read what Luke has been writing. The first thing we read is Jesus and his disciples were on their way. Don't jump ahead too soon. Interestingly, we're not quite sure where they've come from, or actually where they're going at this point, but they're on their way. You see, Luke, in his gospel, is a writer who writes about journey. We're going from A to B, and there's always a purpose. Jesus has come from, well, we're not sure, but we know what he's been up to in the preceding verses. The first thing we know, that on his journey, he had paused. And just a few verses before this, he'd sent out the 72 to extend their ministry experience. Do you remember those verses? You go out, you go and tell them about Jesus, and you can imagine the 72 are thinking, oh boy, why now? Why are we doing it? But they came back rejoicing. Sense of journey for the disciples. Then, straight after that, he teaches them the parable of the Good Samaritan. Again, another parable about journey and encounter and disruption. I'm not going to go into the parable now. That's for another sermon. But what Jesus is doing is that to follow the way, and he's already said this, they were on the way, there may be disruptions en route. There may be things that we're not clear about, we're not sure, but remain anchored, remain true. Remain to the beliefs that you have. And so they're on their way, pondering the journey that the disciples have had. They've seen changed lives, pondering the story, wondering on this road they're on, are we going to be beaten by bandits? The whole thing would have come alive. They'd be chatting. They'd be talking. What is Jesus on about? What's he saying? You know, sometimes I wrote this phrase down, you've done my head in, Jesus. I don't understand. But they'll be pondering, and they arrive at Martha's house. It's important to remember that. It's Martha's house. Did they know Martha? Now, you're saying, of course they knew Martha, but actually at this point, was this a random house? We do not know in Luke's gospel whether they'd met before. If we do a little bit of cross-contamination of the gospels, yes, you will go back to John chapter 11 and 12 after Lazarus was raised. Of course Jesus knew Martha and Mary and Lazarus. But actually that was a few years later. But this was an encounter, which I believe was the first time they met. Now, that's my reading of the scriptures, because we're not told they'd ever met before. But we know they became great friends after that point. But we know it's Martha's house. And we know that from John, this is in Bethany. Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem or thereabouts, on the southeast slope of the Mount of Olives. Again, a road that will become very, very familiar on journey for Jesus and his disciples, going backwards and forwards from Jerusalem to Bethany, especially at year three, at the end of year three, when he's facing the cross. He traveled that road greatly. So this is an advance warning of what is to come, of the picture of the future. But Jesus remains faithful, and he's teaching his disciples to remain faithful. And every time they walk that road, they will remember this moment, this first encounter of Martha's house. It's familiar. So they've heard the story. They've come to a new home, and they're given rest, because that is natural. It's mealtime, so it's natural that Martha would want to welcome people in and feed them, give them comfort, to give them everything they need as travellers. That is the role Martha played. And that is right. We know that she did this again in John chapter 12, 3 years later or thereabouts. After Lazarus was raised, she gave a meal to celebrate the raising of her brother. She loved doing that. It was her gift. It was her skill. It was something God had blessed her with. She enjoyed it, serving and feeding, and it was good. Don't read this passage and think it wasn't good. It was good. It's what she did. Because some of us will be sitting in church thinking, well, I'm not the preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm only as good as that or whatever. But no, God has given a gift. She had a passion, a joy, and a gift for doing it. Pause number two. What is your gift, your passion, your joy in life? Just maybe shut your eyes and just think for 30 seconds. What has Lord given you? Hold on to that gift, that joy and the passion, because I believe God will use them for his kingdom and his benefit and his purposes if we keep rooted and attached to God. My passion, as you probably know, is running. I know it's really hard to believe, but it is running. It's park run. Just this morning, out there in the sun, meeting all those families, talking to the parents, seeing the children, the tears and the joy. It is a passion. And I'm constantly praying, Lord, open up the doors. But I'm rooted in Jesus on it. But the problem is, sometimes our gifts, our joys and our passions, as with Martha, become a distraction. Distraction from the real path that God wants us to lead. And this was the issue Martha had with Jesus. She was distracted from what was the best. She wanted Mary to see, can't you see we need to feed all these people? It wasn't just Jesus that needed food. It was the disciples. And the crowds were building. And that custom was one where you welcomed. What Martha was doing was not wrong, but distracting, pointing away from what matters. At that point, maybe the disciples will probably be thinking of the parable of the Good Samaritan. When the priest and the Levite passed by, they knew what was right. But they were so distracted by, oh, look at me, that they forgot to do what the gospel and the Bible told them to do. They walked on by, missing the real need. Jesus is saying, do not miss the real need. So they're in the home. And it's a natural at that point that the master, the teacher, the rabbi would actually be asked to sit. That's what they did. And actually open up God's word to them. It'd be a natural thing for them to do in that place. So Jesus was seated because that's how he taught. We know that the crowds were building in Luke 11. We know that the disciples were. We know that he was sharing some good things. We don't actually know what he was saying. But people are hungry for the truth. And we see here, Mary sits at his feet. And that is a no-no. Women do not sit at the feet of the rabbi. The women are supposed to be in another room. The children should be out playing. And Mary should not have been there. No wonder there would have been the thought, what is she doing? No, no, no. She shouldn't be there. Jesus is redrawing boundaries of what the truth and his passion and his love is about. The power of the Good Samaritan, he's always told them. The boundaries have changed. The Good Samaritan is the one who provided the needs, but the Samaritans were dirty, unclean people that you shouldn't associate with. And here, Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, being welcomed. She was behaving as a man, and that was a no-no. She wanted to learn from the distinguished, and in their culture, it's the highest and the mighty that would have sat there. Yet Jesus is reversing that culture. What do we record of Jesus' response? Well, to Martha, you're not wrong. Caring and loving and providing is not wrong. These words, Martha, Martha, thank you, George, for reading just right. Martha, Martha. In scripture, when words are said together, like Lord, Lord, or Martha, Martha, there's an emphasis. And we can imagine here, we read between the lines, that Jesus is looking at her with loving eyes and compassionate heart and love. Martha, Martha. Because Martha loved Jesus. You know, had heard of his wisdom. And vice versa. But what he does say to her, what Mary has found, is better. Few things are needed, but only one. And that one is the anchor, and that is Jesus himself. It doesn't say what Martha was doing was wrong, but it says what is better is what Mary has found. And it must have been such bravery and courage for Mary actually to sit there and take centre stage. But she'd seen it. Let's jump forward a few years. What do we read of Martha in John 11, 20? It shows how Martha has changed as a brilliant woman of faith. And I'm going to read the verses 20 to 22 and just listen. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him and Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Can you see the tables had turned? Mary had not forgotten the first encounter, and her life had been changed from that first encounter that she saw, she knew, she came, she understood. I'm not knocking Mary for staying at home. She was looking after the dead body. But can you see how Martha would change through that encounter with Jesus Christ? The encounter is about being faithful, trusting in the faithfulness of God. This journey continues from this place that we read in Luke. And our journeys continue, and the questions for us to ask ourselves. Are we being distracted by our godly given passions and gifts, away from the anchor? I always use the illustration, I see it lots in friends and other over time, that if you take a coal out of a fire, it quickly becomes dim. As soon as you put it back in a fire, it roars up again. And so many times I've seen people walk away from faith because they've come out of the fire. The fire is the church. It's the reading of scriptures. It's prayer. Question we have to ask ourselves, are we at Jesus' feet this morning being restored? But being reminded, this faithfulness in service, this faithfulness in sitting. But as I finish, is there anything that we need to come before him this morning at his feet? Anything that is on our hearts and our minds? And afterwards, we will have prayer ministry. Simon and Karen will be available after communion. If there's something you need to say sorry to God for or you want to give to him, let's sit at his feet. And what we notice, the journey continues from here. As we read on in John chapter 11, he immediately goes into the teaching of the Sermon on the Plain. In Luke, it's called the Sermon on the Plain. In Matthew, it's the Sermon on the Mount. So from this moment, this might be the teaching, that the starting of the teaching when Mary was at his feet. We don't know. But he teaches them and he says these words. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. I believe that's a word for us in season as we hold on to what God is saying for each of us. As individuals and as a church, let's hear that word, sit at his feet, and obey it. Amen.